Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, and I pray that by our worship together we might all have the deepest hunger that we have satisfied by the presence of the living Christ in our midst, and the bread of life that we encounter here. I extend a warm welcome to those of you who are joining us by our live streamed or our broadcast worship this morning. Regardless of how we join together in worship this day, we can all rest in the blessing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So I want to extend a particular thanks to our worship leaders, to our liturgists, to our greeters, to our ushers, and everybody else who has made worship possible this day. I want to extend a particular thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer for their technical expertise in AV and our broadcast ministry. And also, of course, thank Pegasus Natick for its broadcast of our worship this day. So we have a few things we want to let you know about our worship this day. This is a work in progress as we are in this transitional hybrid mode. And I want to let you know that we're going to be doing the best that we possibly can to make this as meaningful for you, but also as safe as possible for you as well. We have a covenant for our worshiping community, which you'll find in the beginning of your worship bulletin. And so we invite you to take a look at that. So I want to let you know a few things about our worship this day, because we are in this transitional time. For those of you who are worshiping with us at home by digital means, we invite you at the time when I light the Christ candle to light the candle at home. This is one of the ways that we remember that we are much bigger as a body of Christ in this particular part of what we are connected. Also, during communion, for those of you who are worshiping from home, we invite you now to gather the elements that you will need for sharing communion with one another. Something that you will use for bread, something that you will use for wine. You can use anything that for you serves that purpose. And we know that by the power of a living Christ, these things become the bread and wine that we share together. Now, for those of you who are worshiping with us in person, we have a change in our worship around communion as well. Those of you who are here received a little prepackaged cup and wafer. This might be a little hard to figure out, so I just want to say one thing about this, or say a little bit about it. There is actually a wafer on top of that plastic cup. The wafer you will find underneath a clear plastic piece, so you can peel that top piece back and reveal the wafer below. And then below that is a foil that will also be removed, and that will uncover the juice that is within. So I know this might be a little tricky. If for any reason during communion you're having any trouble with this, just give us a little wave and an usher will come and assist you with this. It might take us a little bit of time to get used to this. Also, one thing that we're getting used to are these video monitors here. Just as a reminder, for those of you who are in person in worship today, you will see that there are certain portions that are in yellow. That is your time to speak. You'll also see that our hymns are also in yellow. But at this time, we're still encouraging folks to hum and to not sing. And we are certainly hoping that we'll be able to change that in the future. And just one note for those of you who are looking at a physical copy of the bulletin, there is an incorrect number for the second hymn. The second hymn is numbered in the copies of the bulletin that you have, 233, and it should be 325. They are listed correctly here, and on the monitors, it will be exactly correct. So another moment in our worship that's a little bit different is the passing of the peace. We're going to remain physically distant for that aspect of our worship. So we invite you, however, to extend warmth through the caring and loving eyes that you have, through waves and other ways that I will invite you to share in offering. Speaking of offering, there is also a slight change to our offering. You will have noted probably that there are offering plates at the rear of the sanctuary as you enter. For those of you who brought an offering to lift up this day, you can use those plates. And at the conclusion of the service, if you haven't yet had an opportunity to do so, those offering plates will be here, and you're welcome to make your offering at the conclusion of the worship. Prayer requests are crucial for us. Some of you who are at home may be sending us some prayer requests by email at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. We invite those up through the time of the reflection. We should be able to incorporate those into our worship if we receive them by then. For those of you who are here in person, for the time being, we're going to use the index cards that you'll find in the pews, and you'll find them at either end of the pews. If you don't have one and would like one, you can't find one there, you can wave a little bit. There are pencils there as well. We invite you to lift up whatever prayer request you'd like, and then during the time of the offering, just hold them up and an usher will collect them, and we will be able to lift them up in our worship and prayer this day. Also, for those of you who are in person, it's important that you wear your name tags, if you have them, if you don't have them, to let us know. You know, let's face it, folks, it has been many months since I've been with you, but I haven't been with you in person. So I'm speaking very, very candidly, that it will help me to, if you wear your name tags, and I suspect that will be true for others in our congregation as well, and certainly for visitors. Now, we've got somebody with us today who is not a visitor, but who is beloved among our congregation, and that's Bill Ladd. I want to invite him forward today. He's got a special welcome for us from the welcome team, and he's going to let us know about a few things that are happening.
Thank you, Jonathan, for that wonderful introduction. Good morning, everyone. And I bring you heaps amounts of love from the welcome team and from your brother and sister congregation over in Saugus. They went that away. And I have some announcements from the welcome team. First of all, Tiffany's ordination is next Saturday, August 7th at 3:00 in Walpole. Now, you don't need to RSVP. If you want to go and make a joyful noise, please do it and I will meet you there. Rally Sunday is September 19th. So put that in your phone. Capital campaign kickoff is October 2nd, and more details will follow. October 17th is ONA Sunday. Thanks for the reminder, because the First Church Saugus is in for a special treat, because they ain't never had one before. Speaking of a treat, Victorian Christmas is coming back to First Church Natick, so start pulling together your 1875 duds and get pumped for a joyful and love-filled holiday season. We are going to bring it down. And last but not least, if you are up for some fun time post-worship fellowship, come on out to Natick's front porch for a few minutes to say howdy, because it's been a while since we all said howdy. And I hope that everybody will join me in sending a big aloha to the Clausens out in Hawaii. Ready? Aloha! Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And I know that Sarah Lynn has at least one announcement additionally to share with us.
Yes, good morning. I just want to call your attention to the South Main Street lawn after the service today. Please take a peek around the corner out there. You will find this lovely sculpture created by the Natick's artist in residence, Amy Adams, and it was dedicated yesterday. It was a very moving, moving time of people speaking about mental health and addiction and recovery and all of the things that our town needs to talk about more. But this piece should elicit those kinds of conversations and get people talking about the place of mental illness and mental health in our community. So please check it out. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. There is actually one other announcement, believe it or not, and that is Bill Ladd didn't mention among the things that he said are coming up in the life of our church, his own ordination, which will be happening on Sunday, October 31st in the afternoon. We invite all of you to be there and to join with us in lifting up our brother Bill and blessing him together in ministry. And continued prayers for Bill as he goes off to serve the Saugus Church. So we come now to a time of lighting a candle together as I light this candle representing the living Christ in our midst. I invite those of you who are worshiping at home to light your candle along with us, thereby remembering that this body of Christ and the living Spirit are much, much more than we can possibly imagine. And that we are bound together by that living Christ in our midst.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. God says, "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. We have come to the feast on the living bread, that we might minister to the world's hungers.
We have come to drink the waters of life, that we might minister to the world's thirst.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled."
Let us worship the source of every blessing.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, "We come to you, Holy God, with many needs, weighty decisions to make, battles we cannot win, losses or broken relationships that tear at life's fabric. Each of us seeks fullness of life with you. Feed us this day by your Spirit with the nourishment that satisfies our inner longing, enabling us to grow in grace and strengthening us for service as faithful followers of Jesus. Amen."
So now we come to one of those moments in our worship when we remember that we are one in the body of Christ, and we do that by sharing the peace. And so I invite you, remaining physically distant, to share the peace of Christ, reaching out your hands perhaps in a gesture of blessing, or perhaps placing your hands over your heart with the intention of opening yourselves to God's peace and of sharing your own peace with others. Or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you. I'll say that again. What a lovely thing for us to share the peace of Christ and to see the warmth in each other's eyes as we make those smiles behind the mask that we continue to wear. I so appreciate your willingness to care for one another by the simple act of wearing a mask at this point still. And I also appreciate the fact that you are going to do everything possible to share the warmth that you have as a congregation with one another. That's really a blessing. And as we come to this moment in our worship, a moment of lifting up our offerings, we remember the Spirit of Christ among us. We remember the ways that we are nurtured and we can nurture the world. So let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give as we receive this morning's offering. Let us pray. Because we know Jesus, we want to share with others the life that he gives, and so may all hungering souls come to know there is a feast at Jesus' table and a place set for each one of them. Bless these gifts and help us to be faithful witnesses by them and every talent and ability and resource we possess. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 35 and 41 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here it is, midsummer, and I am thinking about Thanksgiving. That's right, Thanksgiving. On a communion Sunday, that might make some sense. You see, historically, communion has been known as the Great Thanksgiving. The Great Thanksgiving. Maybe you know that. Thanksgiving for the relationship that we have with the triune God and with one another, and for all that God has done to bring us into better relationship with God and with one another, and indeed the whole creation through Jesus. And so I might be thinking about the Great Thanksgiving, but I am not. I am actually thinking about Thanksgiving. And thinking about Thanksgiving, though it is still 3 months and more away, because in these days leading up to returning to in-person worship and our first in-person communion in a year and a half, I have been thinking a lot about bread. About bread, especially those little wafers that those of you who are participating in worship today will be partaking of. Those little wafers under the little plastic, between that and the foil. You know what I'm talking about. You're going to know more about what I'm talking about in a minute. I've been thinking about those, and I've been thinking about the vast difference between those wafers and tasting one of my favorite breads, Nana's yeast rolls. Nana's yeast rolls. Now, you may not know Nana's yeast rolls. I know them intimately. This is a battalion of Nana's yeast rolls that we make around Thanksgiving time every year. Nana's yeast rolls. I don't know why we only bake them at Thanksgiving. I really don't. But take away the turkey, take away the stuffing, take away the apple pie, take away, well, even my very own pecan tarts, which are marvelous. There's really only one thing that puts me in the Thanksgiving spirit, and that is Nana's yeast rolls. Shove the bird aside. These beauties ought to take pride of place on the Thanksgiving table, but instead, we pass them around in little baskets. We cover them up because we want to keep the heat that they have within them inside as long as possible, so that when we finally take one and break it open, you see the steam kind of come up and they are ready to pop into our mouths and maybe put some butter on and maybe mop up some turkey gravy. Sink my teeth into these and I am absolutely transported to bread heaven. Firm but not hard, soft but not without substance, sweet but not sugary, Nana's yeast rolls are just the comfort food for a body, anybody, to crave. Who knows? Who cares who Nana was? We don't know. Those are so good. I wish I had one of these right now. And I wish I could share them with you. Maybe I will. We'll find out. But the truth is, I have never met a bread that I didn't like. Devil take low-carb diets, and I pray I never develop gluten intolerance, and I know some of you might have gluten intolerance, and I just want to say honestly, sincerely, from my heart, I pray for you. I pray for you. My heart is with you. I can't imagine how difficult that might be. Because I dream of bread. Flat and chewy pitas or tortillas, hard crusted, soft in the middle French loaves or rounds, pizza or pretzels or croissants or bagels. Maybe you do too. I don't know. After all, just try to imagine life without bread. People with gluten intolerance have to do that. I can't imagine it. And this is probably why there are so many gluten-free products now that are available, right? It makes a great deal of sense. We all want, maybe even need, bread. It is the most common food in the world. Wheat, flatbread, crumbs, dating from 14,000 years ago, have been found by archaeologists at this site in northeastern Jordan. Bread was central to the formation of human societies. The wheat began to be cultivated. Cultivation started, and towns began, and more complex societal structures replaced nomadic life. Eating bread, we are back in touch with the staff of life, as its bread is sometimes called. Food can get fancy, but it never gets much breader, and certainly no more basic than bread. And that is why Jesus' metaphor today in those Gospels that we heard earlier is so powerful. He is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. So, you know, it's a little weird. When I have conversations with folks who are coming to Christianity for the first time, to them it can seem really strange, this idea of Jesus as the bread of life, and this invitation that Jesus gives to feed on him. It's almost too vivid for some of us. But I think part of what Jesus is trying to do here was to shake people. people up, to shake people up, asking us to look at bread and to look at himself in a much different way. For some, Jesus is the bleeding body hanging on the cross, a savior. For others, he is the one who sits on high, God enthroned in heaven. Or maybe Jesus is a wise one whose teachings guide us. We can think those things and more. And yet here is Jesus urging us to think of him in a different way. To think of him as the one who feeds us somehow. It does sound strange. Until we probe the concept of hunger. Of hunger. So unlike many of us unlike many of those who lived in Jesus' day, most of us are at a distinct disadvantage when it comes to understanding today's reading. Because hunger is something that can be hard for we who live in a land of plenty to truly grasp. Some of you, I know, however, have experienced true hunger. Maybe you're experiencing it now. It's also easy for us, I think, to fail to see that Jesus was tapping into the Jews' historic experience of hunger in the wilderness and of manna provided, right? I do think that's part of what's happening. Manna, the bread from heaven, which God gave to sustain the Israelites in their time of wilderness wandering. And yet, on some level, we have all felt that gnawing feeling in the pit of our stomachs when for some period of time we have to go without food. Like me, perhaps, some of your most appreciated meals were the ones where you were really hungry for them. In fact, there's a French proverb that goes, a good meal ought to begin with hunger, right? I remember working in the fields as a little kid and biting into a ripe ear of corn and thinking that was the sweetest thing I had ever tasted. Or discovering a treasure on an August hike, blueberries or blackberries, right? Or walking all day windblown and cold and wet along the southwest coast of England and sharing a last round of bread with my traveling companions at just that moment when we thought we couldn't go any farther. These were simple, and yet they were absolutely memorable meals for me. So when we're hungry, it's a reminder that we are creatures, and without nourishment, well, we know what will happen. We will die. But there's that death of the soul, too, that can come day by day, that can come drop by drop, as we maybe lose our lust for life, as our eyes dull to the world, as we perhaps become unsure if we can go on. A spiritual hunger. The soul's starvation. Feeding on, well, the various kinds of empty diets that we have access to these days. Escapism of a digital means. News sensationalism, disembodied internet relationships, pervasive commercialism, or succumbing to hurry sickness, we can feel dashing about even as we are feeling that we are falling behind. Caught in the ever-tightening grip of a sense of overwhelmedness, that sense that everything has just become far too unmanageable, far too difficult. You know, one of the experiences I have as an interim is, I move around from church to church. You probably get that. But I have a lot of experience with different churches, and when I ask people, what is the main reason, really, that you come to church, most frequently what I hear people say is, well, it's because I am here to get nourished for the week. I'm here to get nourished for the week. So maybe, just maybe, like me, that is why you are here today. Maybe you have felt your soul being malnourished, and you're looking for something more satisfying. And maybe when Jesus says that he is the bread of life, he is telling us that he is offering us part of a healthy spiritual diet. So now you're asking yourself, how does this diet work, and just what do I have to swallow to follow it, right? How is Christ present as the bread of life? John Calvin asserted that in the Lord's Supper, Christ is present. And when asked how is Christ present, he said, you know, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm not going to answer that question. Instead, he said, I would rather experience it than understand it. So too, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, come down from heaven, we, I think, should be reluctant to explain the precise meaning of what he is saying. I think we should resist it, like Calvin. You see, I have spent more years than I want to count studying and researching and thinking over and writing about and preaching about who Jesus is and was, and yet it hasn't deepened my sense of understanding of Jesus as the bread of life. It hasn't strengthened my faith doing those things. I'm glad I did them. But the experience of life-giving nourishment of Jesus that I have fed on in my times of spiritual hunger, that is what compels me to be here today and to be with you. When I felt that hollow kind of lack of meaning in all that I was doing, when I felt numbed by the pace of it all, that's when who Jesus was and what Jesus said has become that spiritual food that has filled me with who Jesus is. So I am here today, not because I have bought into a set of doctrines or been convinced by a creed. And frankly, I doubt that that would be true for any of you if you really examined it. But because Jesus has been and is that bread which satisfies me in a way that nothing else can't. I hope that you have that experience too. I'm not assuming that that's true. The late Rachel Held Evans wrote, "In an age of information overload, the last thing any of us needs is more information about God. We need the practice of incarnation, by which God saves the lives of those whose intellectual assent has turned them dry as dust, who have run frighteningly low on the bread of life, who are dying to know more God in their bodies, not more about God, more God." I couldn't agree more. We need more of the bread of life. And people, I'm here to say, we are the ones who help each other to know this bread. We are the ones who share that bread with each other and with the world. We are the ones empowered by the Spirit to be the distributors of this bread for the satisfaction of the soul of each person, and I would say of the human population as well. The psalmist says, taste, taste, and see that the Lord is good. As we prepare to receive communion, I give you no high theology, I give you no arguments, I'm not going to give you any proofs. I won't try to convince you that that little wafer that we talked about before is going to be the best bread you ever had, or maybe the rice cracker, gluten-free substitute that you chose today. I'm not going to say that. No, I'm only going to invite you. I'm only going to invite you to taste and see that the Lord is good, to chew on Jesus' teachings. To savor how he helps us to know God as well as the divine in each one of us, and how we can be instruments of care and grace and justice and peace and love and inclusion of every person, no matter who they are. Take time to enjoy him, letting him become part of your lives. Taste for yourself. Taste for yourself whether Jesus might be for you that daily sustaining presence that keeps you going, and also shows you how you can be one who serves others with the kind of nourishment that they need. For what we taste might not be gourmet on this Sunday or in some Sundays to come, but it is sure to be life-giving, life-sustaining. Amen. So we come to a time now of lifting up in prayer so many who we know are in need of that prayer. And I want to turn to Sarah Lynn Keller to let us know about prayer concerns or celebrations that we would lift up this day. Sarah Lynn.
Good morning. So we hold today in our thoughts and prayers Kirsten McDonough and her family. Kirsten's father, Richard Arrett, died on Friday morning. They're in Colorado to celebrate his life. And Kirsten and Lane will be returning to Natick next week, so we can offer them our sympathy then. Were there any other prayers or concerns that came in on cards today? No? Okay, thank you.
And so I would invite us to be in prayer together, and be together at this feast of prayer. Let us pray. Holy One, God of the wilderness and of the desert, you are the one. You are the one who is able to provide for every need and every circumstance, the one who always offers blessing, and so we thank you for your presence and for the fulfillment of the prophet's word that you will guide us and satisfy our needs in parched places. We thank you that we are fed, that we are fed and strengthened by your indwelling Christ. And this day we ponder Christ as bread in this holy metaphor. We grasp the image of your nourishing and caring, of your supplying that for which we hunger. And so we pray for those discouraged and disillusioned with trying to survive on the fare that the world serves, for those in the wilderness of grief, of addiction or poverty, of guilt or despair, of true hunger, of mental or physical illness, for those starving for love, for those starving for acceptance and affirmation. And we pray. We pray for all others whose names remain in our hearts. May these ones know the life-giving, refreshing nourishment that you can be for all who would know and love you. Move us to you this day and each day, seeking what we need opening ourselves anew in your indwelling that we may truly respond in confidence and enter into the fray in the strength of faith and the joy of competence, full and free in the life that you give. We give you thanks for the daily bread that you offer that we can share, and for the Christ who is the bread of life and who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst." In company with all who hunger and thirst for spiritual food, we come to this table to know the risen Christ in this life-giving bread and wine. This communion is open to all people. Come now, people of God, for all things have been made ready. And so our story goes that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which has been poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Beloved, we are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community remains scattered, we are one in Christ. Wherever you may be, we ask you now to rest your hands lightly over these elements as we ask God's blessing upon them. Please pray with me now. Gracious God, bless this bread and cup and all of us with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, the church, your servant people, that we may be salt and light and leaven for the furtherance of your will in the world. Amen. Now, I must ask, how did you do revealing the wafer and the juice? Is everybody ready to partake of communion, or do we need a little assistance? That's perfectly fine if you do. Looks like we're okay. All right, good work, good work. So, beloved ones, let us now in our many places receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven. And let us, in our many places now, receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing. Take and eat. So I invite you now to pray with me this unison prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Christ, who knows the patterns of our hearts and the designs of our days, we give you thanks, for now is our hunger satisfied, and we are thirsty no more. Send us out as your living saints to feed the world with the bread of life and to lift your cup to the lips of all your children. Amen. Beloved, beloved siblings in Christ, let us go out and be as bread in Christ's name, giving ourselves and our resources in love as God leads us among the lost and the lonely, the hungry of body or soul. And as we go, may the blessing of God, the Creator of Christ, the living bread, and of the Holy Spirit, the nourisher of life, be with us all, always. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.